The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Victor Armendariz, coming to you live from studio. So if you're on the studio cams and, or you're watching on the webcams or whatever you want to call those things, I am here. I am live. And my apologies for last week's show. Look, we do what we can when I'm on the road. and I know that, we draw, you know, we are subject to how good somebody's Wi-Fi is when I'm out and about. And when I'm away from studio, if everything relies on Wi-Fi, and having that little bad Wi-Fi was a little hiccup, but we still was, you know, was able to do the show from a good old phone call.
Do you think Musk might have a little bit bigger investment than I do in America's Web Radio?
Who would that be?
Musk.
Oh, Musk. I would say. I would say I did hear, and I'm going to talk about that. Absolutely. That's Legendary Dave in the background there, ladies and gentlemen, who was talking about Elon Musk, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. So, but yes, this is the On Point with Victor show. You're tuned into the America's Web Radio station. There's lots going on that I want to talk to, and so much was happening while I was in Vegas, and yeah, I believe it or not, folks, Vegas does get old. It does get old, and I spent practically 2 weeks there, the last 2 weeks.
Only when you run and, money
yeah, okay. That's a good point. Producer Brett said it only gets boring when you run out of money at the craps table. And I will have you to know.
That's a socialistic move.
That's right. you know, I will say this, and producer Brett would be proud of me. I actually did play craps, and the most money, the second most time I've won money in Vegas, one time was a couple of years ago on a slot machine, and I never make money on slot machines, but I actually scored and made some a couple of years ago. And then this past trip, I actually made a few hundred bucks on craps. So I took producer Brett's advice, and I went to the craps table and actually did pretty decent. I had no idea what I was doing. It was pure blind luck. But I ended up making a few hundred bucks, and it was great. It made it worth being there. But I'm not kidding, folks. It being in Vegas that many days, as many days as I was, it does get old. And there's a lot more, I will say this, there's a whole lot more to the state of Nevada than just Vegas. But I spent most of my time, unfortunately, around the Vegas area. Now, I will say this, I love the weather. I mean, we had 110 degree days, and it is that dry heat that people talk about. But I gotta tell you, I love it. I would take that over cold any day of the week. So I enjoyed it. I even took a long walks in this heat, and it was quite different than running and walking in the heat of the hot Atlanta or Florida or Texas. So there is something to be said about dry heat. There is a difference, folks. There is a difference. But had a great time, met some great voters. Listen, I talked to small business owners, medium-sized business owners, big business owners. I talked to them while I was in Vegas, and I tell you what, listen, I'm gonna talk about the campaigns today. I'm gonna talk about the Trump campaign, and listen, there's a panic going on, not a panic, but there is some concern going on with the Trump campaign right now. And listen, there's some truth to that. And I'm going to talk about it, because you guys know I am no sycophant to any politician. And honestly, this is the biggest promise for Trump. He's not a politician. And something that nobody seems to understand. There's so many people out there that can't say, and this is people on the right, well, I say the right, people in the establishment Republicans, they cannot understand Trump is not a politician. He wasn't raised a politician, and he's not going to be a politician. That is the best attribute that Trump has. But yet, the Washington swamp can't handle it. And then, so many voters out there are just misguided because they can't seem to understand that Trump's not a politician. So I'll get into that. But you know me, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to tell you how it is, and I'm going to tell you how I see it, and I'm going to give you my best analysis and opinion. And I won't sugarcoat things, not even for Trump. You can be a Trump supporter without being a Trump sycophant. And honestly, ladies and gentlemen, you should never be a sycophant to any politician. And I throw Trump in, even though Trump's not a politician, I throw him in when I talk about politicians because he is running to be the president of the United States. And whether you're a politician or not, when you're the president of the United States, people are going to refer to you as a politician. And I'll explain what I mean by that. I'll explain what I mean by that in a little bit. But I'm just going to be honest with you. There are some issues going on in the Trump campaign, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what I think is going on. But I will also tell you the alarms do not need to go off. The panic does not need to set in. Trump has not lost this race. And honestly, I could enter this race right now and beat Kamala Harris. That's how bad of a candidate she is. Waltz, he's awful. These two are the most progressive, authoritarian-type Democrats to ever be this close to the presidency. And I think we're going to reach a time here in the next few weeks, we're going to reach a time when people are going to start paying attention, and they're going to see and they're going to be reminded why they didn't like Kamala in the first place. There is a reason that Kamala has the lowest ratings of any vice president in history. There's a reason Kamala had one of the worst performances of any candidate in a primary. Yeah, that's Kamala Harris. There's a reason that people don't like Kamala. There's a reason that black voters don't like Kamala Harris. There's a reason for all of that, and they're going to need to be reminded. Unfortunately, there's a lot of uninformed or low information voters out there, and they're getting caught up in the media hoopla. They're getting caught up in, oh my gosh, Biden's gone. Listen, Joe Biden had brought the Democrat Party so low and to such a low point, and Joe Biden turned off so many voters. You want to know why they kicked Joe Biden out? And for any of you out there who think Joe Biden left on his own accord, you are, I don't know who you're listening to, and I don't know how gullible you are, but if you believe Joe Biden left on his own accord, you are out of your ever-loving mind. Joe Biden didn't want to leave the presidency. Hunter Biden, him and Jill were hanging on until the very last thread snapped. And it was Pelosi who came along, Pelosi and Schumer who came along with the big old scissors. You know how they do ribbon cuttings? You have a big old scissor and you cut the ribbon? Well, that's what Nancy Pelosi and Schumer did. Joe Biden, Jill Biden, and Hunter Biden were hanging on, just whatever they could do holding on to that power. We're not going to let it go. And then Pelosi said, nope, it's time. And they took the scissors and they cut them right off. And out goes Joe. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why they did this. There's national polling, there's state polling, there's public polling, there's polling that's reported on. And then there's polling that you and me will never see. And that's known as internal polling. Every candidate, I don't care if you're running for dog catcher, if you raise enough money, you're going to have internal polling. So every presidential candidacy has internal polling. We're never going to see this internal polling. And I can promise you the internal polling that the Joe Biden team, the Democrats, and this went beyond Joe Biden. See, what happened was Joe Biden turned Democrat voters off so much that the internal polling was showing down ticket disaster. See, the Democrats can handle Donald Trump being president. I know they give you a bunch of BS and they talk out both sides of their mouth and they talk out their derriere. But they can handle a Donald Trump presidency. They're actually okay with it. What they can't handle is down ticket disaster. That's what the Democrats can't handle. And the internal polling, I promise you, the internal polling was showing that Joe Biden was not only turning Democrats away from him, he was turning Democrats away from voting, period. What they saw, I promise you, what they saw in the minority vote in the internal polling was that the minority voters, black voters, brown voters, that they were going to either vote for Trump or they weren't going to vote at all. And that was going to be devastating for down ticket. And the Democrats, they can live. Listen, I tell you all the time that the Democrats are in this for the long game. They're in it for the long game. And they're okay with 4 years going to Trump. They would be okay with that as long as he doesn't have the Senate and as long as he doesn't have the House. And the down ticket, I'm telling you, the internal polling was probably showing the down ticket absolute disaster for the Democrats. They were going to lose. Listen, it's one thing to lose the Senate by one or two votes. It's another thing to lose the Senate by 10 votes. And the down ticket disaster that was unfolding in front of the Democrats was spelling an absolute disaster. We were talking possibly 55 to 60 Senate seats for the Republicans. The Democrats can't handle that. And they were not about to take that risk. They weren't about to take that risk. They made a calculation that if we dump Joe and we bring in, we know Kamala's not popular, but if we bring Kamala, Joe Biden has gotten the Democrat spirit so low that you bring in cackling Kamala and you know the media is going to do your bidding. 99% of the media is going to do the bidding of the Democrats. They're going to lie about Kamala. They're going to lie about a record. They're going to rewrite her record. They're going to invent a record. They're going to detach her from Joe Biden as much as they can. And they're going to just put all this wonderful fodder out there that the media is going to take their marching orders, which you can see this has been happening. And the Democrats calculated that they would do this. And the honeymoon phase, here is the goal of the Democrats. They want to take the Kamala honeymoon phase and run out the clock. See, you normally, every candidate's going to get a honeymoon phase. If Donald Trump were to drop out right now, and Ron DeSantis were to be anointed, or Nikki Haley were to be anointed, or anybody, J.D. Vance, if he were to be anointed, and because Donald Trump stepped aside, there would be a big old honeymoon phase. Typically, the honeymoon phase may be a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, that's typical. But what the Democrats are trying to do is extend the Kamala honeymoon phase for the next 90 days. They want to get her, the honeymoon phase to last to the election, because if they could do that, she could actually win. That is why she has not done an interview. Kamala Harris hasn't answered one serious question from one serious journalist. She hasn't sat down for any interviews. All she will do is talk from a teleprompter, or she'll sit with somebody who she knows is her sycophant. That's all. And she won't even do that. She hasn't even done that. The only thing she's doing is blabbing platitudes off a teleprompter. Her speeches aren't even different at her so-called rallies. And what are they doing at these rallies for Kamala? They're bussing in union goons. They're bussing in a bunch of union people. They're probably forcing people or paying people, or they have to have some concert, free concert, to get people in. This is not a grassroots what's happening with Kamala. But it's putting out the perception that Kamala's doing well. It's driving her poll numbers up because the low information voter out there is getting caught up in this. Oh my gosh, it's not Joe Biden. We would take anybody but Joe Biden. And that was their sentiment. That was the Democrat sentiment. Anybody but Joe Biden. They needed somebody that they could rally behind against Trump. And the Democrats calculated, but look, we know Kamala Harris is unpopular. We know she's terrible. We know she has no policy. We know she can't speak without a teleprompter. So what are they doing? They're doing the basement strategy. They're trying to hide Kamala, lie about her, rewrite her record, create this image that is completely fake. Completely fake. But as long as Kamala doesn't, and listen, as long as she doesn't have to answer a serious question, they're probably got a pretty good strategy going here. And you got to understand, if you don't believe me, just go and look at what some of the Kamala people are saying. They've got some guy, I'm pretty sure it's off record yesterday, that's within her campaign, within the Democrats. And he said, why on earth would we allow Kamala to go and have an interview when she's doing very well right now, not having interviews? Why would we talk about policy when Kamala's doing well, not talking about policy? That Democrat operative actually admitted to that. So we see what's going on, folks. But I will tell you this. Don't worry. Don't worry. Because right now, nobody's really paying attention to what's going on until after Labor Day. After Labor Day, people start tuning in to the presidential election. And you don't have to believe me. Just look at history. History tells that story. History tells that story. People are disengaged right now. But they will engage after Labor Day. So right now, so there's plenty of time for Trump to right his ship. There's plenty of time to get the word out, and you've got to educate people and remind them why they don't like Kamala. Because the people already don't like her, they're just going to have to be reminded why they don't like her. The low information voter, they didn't like Kamala 3 weeks ago. Now they're being fed this fake facade about Kamala, and they're buying into it because she's not Trump. But all Trump's got to do, all the super PACs have to do, all the anybody out there that wants to help Trump, you just get on the ground, you knock on doors, and you remind people why they don't like Kamala. You remind the black population, the black voter and brown voter, that it was Kamala who put them in jail. It was Kamala that put a whole bunch of black men in jail for minor drug charges. It was Kamala that kept people in jail. It was Kamala that tried to keep young men in jail, I think maybe just to work in her labor, California labor. I don't know. But I do know she put a lot of young men in jail, minority men in jail. Kamala did that. You just got to remind the voters about this. So there's lots and lots and lots that's going to happen. So you have reason to be cautious and to be a little bit alarmed, I guess I can say, about Trump's campaign. But you shouldn't panic yet. You shouldn't panic because Trump has plenty of time to turn this around. And honestly, he doesn't really need to put the pedal to the metal until after Labor Day. In fact, next week is the Democrats' convention. Donald Trump should probably just go to Mar-a-Lago or go to the Caribbean. Go take a page from Biden's book and go sit on the beach somewhere. Donald Trump should probably take next week and relax. Relax, relax, relax. Regroup. Get with your campaign team and get back on message and focus. Focus on Kamala's record. You don't need to talk about 2020. You don't need to talk about anything being stolen. You don't need to talk about any of that. You only need to talk about, why are people in such pain right now? Why is inflation so high? Why are gas prices so high? Why are people having to buy less food because their utilities cost so much? All of these things. Talk about Kamala's record. Kamala's out there stealing Trump's ideas now. I'm going to get to this in a little bit too. Kamala's stealing Trump. Kamala had the audacity. This is how dumb the Democrat Party and Kamala Harris thinks you, the voter, are. And I'm talking especially to you minority voters. My fellow minority voters, I've told you before, the Democrats think you're plumb stupid. And now they're demonstrating again how dumb and stupid they think you are. Because your skin is black, because your skin is brown, they think you're pretty damn stupid. And I'm not afraid to tell you that. I am unafraid. You know, I'm the Mexican not afraid to be American. I'm the Mexican not afraid to support Trump, and I'm not afraid to tell you I support Trump. And I'm not afraid to tell you that the Democrat Party, today's Democrat Party, and Kamala Harris, and that goofball progressive whack job Waltz, they think you black voters and you brown voters, they think you're stupid. Why? Why do I say that? Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, 2 months or more ago, came out with an off the cuff, because Donald Trump has great instincts, something that Kamala will never have. Donald Trump came up with a policy and said, you know what? And he did this because he was actually talking to some blue collar, low income workers who were earning their living making tips. And they told of the struggles of making tips and then having to be run down by the IRS to pay more taxes on those tips. And you know what Donald Trump did? Donald Trump said, you know what? I'm going to have a policy. When I get reelected, we're going to not tax tip workers. If you're in the hospitality industry, a waiter, a waitress, a bartender, a valet parker, whatever you are in the hospitality industry, if you're earning a living by making tips, we're not going to tax those anymore. We're not going to. And I sat here on this show and said, this is Donald Trump edging closer and closer to the fair tax. This is Donald Trump getting closer and closer to understanding a consumption tax and the need of a consumption tax. Because not only should we stop taxing tips and workers who make tips, we need to stop taxing everybody on the federal level. It needs to be a consumption tax, and that's called the fair tax. If you want to look it up, go to fairtax.org, fairtax.org, because I don't want to get into it today because I could take the whole show talking about this. But Donald Trump coming out months ago with this idea of not taxing tips, it's edging closer to the fair tax. It's edging closer to a consumption tax. It's a great plan. It really is. It's a great idea. And it would help those low-income workers and the middle class. This is what's going to help the middle class. The Democrats aren't going to help the middle class. They want to tax you more. And how do I know this? Kamala Harris, who just tried to steal Trump's policy of no taxing tips, Kamala Harris casted the tie, the breaking vote, casting the winning vote to allow the IRS to go after who? Tip workers. Kamala Harris cast the tying vote in the Senate. I mean, breaking the tie vote in the Senate to allow the IRS, not to allow, to make the IRS. The Democrats came up with a plan. They came up with a policy to force the IRS to go after the 1%ers. No. The 10%ers. No. He set Joe Biden and Kamala Harris put the IRS on the poor worker, on the middle class. If you're a waiter and you're a waitress and you're a bartender or you're parking cars or you're doing anything in the hospitality industry earning tips, it was Joe Biden and Kamala's tie-breaking vote that allowed the IRS, told the IRS, you have to go put pressure on the hospitality industry, any tip worker, and you find out how much cash they're not reporting, and you find a way to tax that cash. That is what Kamala Harris has done. That's what she believes. That's her actions. So when she comes out the other day and she tries to steal and appropriate, listen, I thought the Democrats said it was bad to appropriate from other people's ideas and other people's cultures. It was Donald Trump's idea to not tax tips. And now Kamala Harris, she sees it in the polling and she sees that it's a great idea and she sees that they're losing voters. So now she goes out and she says, hey, we're not going to tax tips like it was her idea. When in fact, it was Kamala Harris who cast a tie-breaking vote to force the IRS to go after the hospitality worker. That's all you need to know, folks. David, you look like you have a comment.
Oh, I got a big one. Do you think you can get to Trump's campaign somewhere there? I got two words that will put him over the hump.
What's that?
Okay, first, let me ask you, what do people say why I can't vote for Trump? I don't like his personality.
They usually say his personality or character.
Yeah, I don't like the way he talks. Now, what two words in the English language would change all of that instantly?
Well, I don't know. For me, it would be the fair tax. What would that be?
Dog and baby.
All right.
Now, if Trump started having a dog with him, patting the dog, making love to the dog,
and shaking babies,
and then have the baby alongside, play with the baby a little bit. You don't think that wouldn't change his personality?
David, I mean, and folks, that's Legendary Dave speaking there. You're probably not far off from being onto something there, because that was the old adage of the old campaigning days where you had to actually, you know, you didn't have social media, you didn't have all the TV, you had to go out and actually shake hands and kiss babies and pet the dogs. You're absolutely right. And people, you know, who doesn't love a good pet? But maybe that's something that, you know, we'll talk about that Trump needs to do, but folks, you got to understand Kamala Harris, when she's out there speaking right now and trying to,
so dumb to get a huge dog that bit the hell out of her.
Yeah, right. Or not a dog like Biden had who bit everybody. Yeah. A nice fluffy one. No, yeah, absolutely. But folks, you got to understand what you're going to start to see right now happen is Kamala Harris is not only going to steal Trump's ideas, she's going to start talking like a conservative. Look at her ads out there trying to convince you that somehow that this border czar who failed at the border, somehow she's tough on border. There's an ad actually out there right now that says Kamala Harris voted for the toughest bill on the border. That no such thing happened. They've never brought a tough bill before the House. That bill, that last bill that was killed, thankfully, that was not a tough bill on the border. That didn't shut the border. That didn't stop people from streaming across the border. That bill was never going to do that. All that bill was going to do was create a path to citizenship, a path to legality, a path to vote. Listen, when the Democrats talk about giving a path to citizenship to illegals, let me translate that to you. When a Democrat says we want to have a path to citizenship for illegals, what they mean is we want illegals to have a path to the voting ballot. That's all they mean. They want the illegals to have a path to the voting ballot. And listen, I sit here with someone who is of Mexican descent, a first-generation American. I have family in Mexico. But I will tell you, there is no way on God's green earth that people who are streaming across the border should be allowed to vote, let alone be allowed to become a citizen. Now, I've got a whole plan where it's easy to fix the border, and it's easy to take care of the actual people who have been here, who work hard and don't commit any other crimes. They're not out there raping women. They're not out there raping children. They're not out there driving drunk. They're not out there killing people, doing stupid things. They're actually working. Now, yeah, maybe we can talk about somebody like that. But for these people that have streamed across the border under Kamala's watch and under Biden's watch, listen, so many of those are bad people. We know this. Venezuela's emptying their prisons and sending them here. We know this. Gang members are coming in. Terrorist members are coming in. We know this. Terrorist sympathizers are coming across that border. We know this. And if Harris has her way, she will create a path to not just citizenship, but a path to the voting ballot box. And this is something that just cannot be allowed. You know, if you want to earn citizenship in this country, there's a way to do it. There's a proper way to do it. Yeah, David?
They can't spell go.
What's that?
They can't spell go directly to the voting booth.
Maybe they need spell go. That's true. Maybe they need to don't pass. What is the Monopoly game? Don't pass go.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to put a sign out there. Don't pass go, because it's sad
that you talked about briefly, and that's the trafficking of kids.
Yeah.
My old quarterback, Tim Tebow, has a foundation that is fighting the trafficking of all kids.
Right.
And he's doing a great job. He's a wonderful, wonderful man.
Right.
And support him. If
right.
you can, support him.
Yeah, yeah. He's, anybody that wants information can go look up Tim Tebow and see what he's doing. And I'll tell you who doesn't care about trafficking going on at the border, and that would be Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Biden. And listen, Joe Biden's not in the picture anymore. I mean, he was hardly in the picture before. This is Harris. This is a Harris administration going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. And I just cannot stress enough. I cannot stress enough. As she steals Trump's ideas, as she tries to sound like a conservative, because that's what's next. I mean, look at the ads they're running, trying to convince you that she's tough on the border. That's like, I don't even know how a good analogy to make for that. That is so outrageous. Kamala Harris has been so bad on the border. The border czar that she was anointed to by Joe Biden has been an absolute disaster. She won't even visit the border. And now somehow they want you to believe that she's tough on border, that she's actually going to do something. Listen, Kamala Harris wanted to defund the Border Patrol. She doesn't want to add agents, but she's out there telling you that she's going to add agents. None of it will happen, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, none of it will happen. When Donald Trump talks about not tipping hospitality workers, Donald Trump will actually do it. He will make it happen. Kamala Harris will appropriate and steal his idea. She will never make it happen. She's going to tell you what she thinks you want to hear, but there's going to be no action. There's going to be no action on that, folks, because Kamala Harris is all talk. Democrats are all talk. They talk, talk, talk. They make it sound so good, but then nothing happens.
They lie.
Exactly. And the only thing that happens is your life gets worse. All right, folks, we got to take a break. We will go to a break right now, but don't you go anywhere, because we will be right back. This is the On Point with Victor show, and I am Victor Armendariz.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons.
we wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@AmericasWebRadio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the On Point with Victor show. I am Victor Armendariz, the Mexican, not afraid to be American. Not afraid, folks. Hey, listen, you want a reason to vote for Donald Trump? If you're one of those people out there who I don't like Trump, I don't like his attitude, I don't like his blah, whatever. I bet you like his policies, but you want a reason, you want an easy reason to vote for Trump, or you want to know why I think one reason, mainly reason why he must win, and I'll tell you this. Because you look at a headline from yesterday, 1 out of 3 Americans are buying less food. They're buying less groceries. Why? Because they can't afford to pay the basic utilities to cool their house, to run their stoves, to run their electricity. This is the United States of America, and only in some messed up Democrat world can we get to a place where 1 out of 3 Americans go into the grocery store and say, I gotta put stuff back. I have to buy less. Not, I'm gonna switch to the no-name brand, which they're already buying. No, they're actually saying, I can't buy this bag of this or that can of that, or I can't buy this package of meat. I'm going to have to buy the canned soup or what's that stuff everybody used to eat in college, ramen noodles. Or I'm going to have to make this big jar of peanut butter last a long time. I'm going to have to do this part jar of peanut butter so I can have lunches and dinners. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I know many of you that are listening to this show, you may not be in this predicament. You may not be. Most listeners to this radio program, and not just mine, but most listeners to talk radio tend to be more successful people. They tend to be the more conservative people who plan, people who plan for times like this. But there are a lot of people out there who maybe they couldn't plan for it. Maybe they didn't have the means to plan for it. There are a lot of people in this country that live paycheck to paycheck, unfortunately. And I don't care if you live that way. You should never have to walk into a grocery store and say, I can't buy as much food as I need. Not want as much food as I need, because I have to pay the gas bill. I have to pay the electricity bill. The Democrats convinced me to buy some stupid EV, and now it's charging me more electricity to charge that car. All right, folks, look, I don't hate EVs, but I do like making fun of them. But more serious, let's be serious here. There are too many Americans right now that are having to walk into a grocery store. And again, it's not that they're not buying food that they want. It's they can't buy food that they need. They can't buy enough food that they need because they have to pay their gas bill, their electricity bill, their water bill, their trash bill, whatever, all the basic utilities for you to live. People are struggling to pay. Struggling to pay. Now, if you can't cool your house, look, most of this country, it's summertime. And what happens in summertime? It gets hot. Has nothing to do with climate change. Has nothing to do with the fake religion of climate. This climate hoax that the Democrats are putting on you. No, they would love for you to blame the climate instead of them, when all the blame lies on the Democrats. This is Biden and Harris policies. These are Harris policies that are forcing 1 out of 3 Americans in our country, the most amazing country on the planet, the country that really should have more wealth than anywhere in the world. This country right now, we have 1 in 3 Americans who are walking into a grocery store buying less food because they have to pay for their utility bills. I mean, folks, this is crazy. This shouldn't happen.
In the wintertime, you can put on another coat.
At least you can put on another layer. Yep.
Mm-hmm. In the summertime, you go so far and you can't get rid of that brown skin.
I mean, you can join a local nudie club, but you're still going to be hot.
You're still going to be hot.
You know, and David brings up a good point, ladies and gentlemen. If this is continuing, if Harris gets elected and we go into winter with a continuation of the Harris administration, imagine what it's going to be like when people are freezing in their homes. Because,
a little dog on the chain link fence.
Oh, stuck to the chain link fence. Yeah, I mean, it's sad because there are parts of this country that get extremely cold. I don't care how many layers of clothes you put on. And if you can't heat your house because you can't afford to, thanks to the Harris administration, I mean, folks, that shouldn't happen in this country. It shouldn't happen in this country. We are a wealthy country. We're a smart country. We should be able to, every family that wants to work should be able to provide for their family, provide all the food they need, and all
open
the shelter
up
they need.
The pipelines. Idiot.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's something Trump's going to do. See, this is why Trump, like I said, if you need just one reason to vote for Trump, it's this. And again, I know most of you listeners out there are not in the predicament as many Americans are. But there are a lot of low-information voters. There are a lot of people on the lower end of the income scale. There are a lot of people in the middle class that are sliding downward instead of upward. They're sliding downward, which is music to the Democrats' ears. They love it when they slide downward. They don't want anybody going up. Because if you go up, you might reach to an elitist status. They don't want any more elitist status. They want to be the elitist. The Democrats want, they need a whole bunch of you, low information voters. They need a bunch of dependency or they can't have their elitism. So they don't want people going up. They want you going down. And right now you've got people sliding downward into the lower middle and then the lower, and they can't afford to buy groceries because they have to pay for their utilities. And ladies and gentlemen, what do the Democrats do? Do you think the Democrats want to fire up the economy so that these families can earn more money and keep more of the money they own by cutting taxes? No, you won't have one Democrat propose that. What will they propose? They'll propose taking the money from someone else and just magically grabbing money from the taxpayer, and somehow they're going to say, oh, we need to subsidize the energy cost. We need to do you see how this works, folks? The Democrats will drive the basic needs, the cost of living, they will drive it through the roof. And then they'll come along and say, well, we caused it. Well, they won't tell you they caused it, but they will cause it. Then they'll come around and say, oh, well, we're going to be the heroes because we're going to just invent money that the taxpayer will be on the hook for. And we'll subsidize the energy costs. We'll subsidize food costs. We'll subsidize it all. And what does that do? Creates dependency and puts you deeper into dependency. And then what happens? You grow the dependency pool, and eventually this economy will not stand. A country cannot stand when 90% of its inhabitants are reliant on a few elitists. It's just not going to happen, folks. It will not work. Many, many countries have fallen because of inflation alone. You can look throughout history. I'm not making that up. That's history. The Romans ran into inflation, which helped kill the Romans. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look throughout history at the civilizations that were brought to its knees because of inflation. When you drive the cost of living up, you can't sustain a population. And I don't care if the Democrats run along and try to create subsidies. It doesn't work because eventually you run out of other people's money. And when you run out of other people's money, you can't keep the dependent people happy. And when you don't keep the dependent people happy, eventually they revolt. And folks, we are on a bad cycle here. And I'm not making any of this up. I'm not using hyperbole. I'm not using any of those things. I'm just telling you the facts. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm telling you history backs me up on this. History always tells the story, ladies and gentlemen. History will always tell the story. And history, that's why That's why there's that old adage of if you do not, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And ladies and gentlemen, we're about to repeat some bad history. Because too many low information voters, there's too many people out there who get their news from CNN or MSNBC and they don't watch anything else. Or Comedy Central or Entertainment Tonight and they don't watch anything else. And I mean, there are people, listen, let me blow your mind a little bit. There are a group of low information voters out there, ladies and gentlemen, who actually believe, because they only watch MSNBC, they actually believe that Kamala Harris had an original idea to not tax tip wages when that was a Trump policy. It is a Trump policy. It is a Trump idea. But MSNBC will not tell their viewers that Donald Trump. In fact, you go back and look at what MSNBC and what CBS and ABC and NBC and PBS and NPR and you look at what CNN, look at what they said when Trump, a few months ago, when Trump actually came out with the policy of we're not going to tax the tip wage worker, we're not going to tax hospitality workers. When Donald Trump came out with that policy, CNN, MSNBC and all the rest of those goons in the media, the left-wing, lamestream media, they all said, oh my gosh, this is terrible. In fact, the headlines were Donald Trump proposes massive increase to the national debt by not taxing tip wages. That's what they were saying. They were saying it was an awful plan, it was a terrible plan, and suddenly they're worried about national debt. Suddenly the Democrats and the media, they were worried about the national debt growing. Because when Donald Trump launched his policy plan of not taxing tip wages and not taxing hospitality workers, when he launched that plan a few months ago, all the media, all the Democrats were saying, oh my gosh, he's going to blow the national debt through the roof. And then along comes Kamala Harris over the weekend, and she steals Donald Trump's policy. She appropriates Donald Trump's policy. And she announces, oh, we're not gonna tax tips. And she called it hospitality. It's hospitality, Kamala. Hospitality workers, not hospitality workers. But Kamala Harris stood there and looked at you, the American people, and she's trying to make you believe. She thinks you're so stupid. This is why I tell you how stupid they think the black voter is and how stupid they think the brown voter is. And they think all voters are stupid, let's be honest. But Kamala Harris actually thinks she can look at you and say, hey, I have a great idea. We're going to not tax tips. When knowing full well, that was Donald Trump's plan. That was Donald Trump's policy. Donald Trump came up with that. And MSNBC, who will not tell you that Trump came up with it, they're not going to tell you that. Now they're pushing this. They just a few months ago said this was a horrible idea. It's going to blow up the national debt. Now Kamala Harris says it. And they are fawning over Kamala. They're saying, the headlines are, Kamala Harris connects with the low worker or the low income worker, and Kamala Harris cares so much, she's gonna not tax the tip worker. Oh, it's genius! Genius, genius, genius! That's what the Democrats are saying right now when Kamala Harris steals Donald Trump's. And they think you're so stupid that you won't realize that she stole Donald Trump's idea. But I'm telling you folks, all this stuff is gonna come out. And all it needs to do is come out. And this is why I said, look, there is a little bit of rumblings going on in the Trump campaign. Listen, Donald Trump, they knew Kamala was going to be anointed. They knew that the Democrats were going to knock out Joe Biden. Listen, Donald Trump months and months ago on the golf course looked at a journalist and said, Joe Biden is not. After that debate, he knew Joe Biden was done. They knew it. The problem is that the Trump team miscalculated. Now, the Trump team should have been 100%, they should have been ready for Kamala to be anointed. And they weren't ready for it, which is, there's no excuse for it. Again, I'm not going to sugarcoat stuff just because I'm a supporter of Donald Trump. I will tell you when Donald Trump makes fumbles, I'll tell you when Donald Trump stumbles, and I'll tell you when Donald Trump's making mistakes. And right now, the Trump campaign, they're making mistakes. Because they weren't prepared, and they should have been prepared for Kamala Harris's anointment. Because the Trump campaign assumed, and listen, they were right, the Harris approval numbers were the lowest of any vice president. She was the most disliked vice president, I believe, in history. And in fact, all the media that's fawning over Kamala, Not just 3 months ago, they were demanding that Joe Biden dump Kamala. The very media that's lying to you and trying to redefine and recreate Kamala, they're making a fake Kamala world. Those very people that are doing that are the very people that were demanding Joe Biden dump Kamala from the ticket, not just 3, 4, 5 months ago. And the Democrats, the elected Democrats that forced Joe out, not 6 months ago, they were telling Joe, you gotta dump Kamala. Well, you know what, Joe? You should have dumped Kamala. Because Kamala, and I said this months ago, Kamala Harris was conniving and figuring out a way, we're gonna get rid of Joe. And they got rid of Joe. They got rid of Joe. But what the Trump campaign did not count on was they should have known this, was the way the media would flip the switch and they would fawn over Kamala. They would lie about Kamala's record. They would hide Kamala's record. And then they would create a fake Kamala record. And then the Trump campaign should have also realized that the Democrat Party and the Kamala campaign they would hide Kamala, that they would enact the basement strategy that they used on Joe Biden. Look, it got Joe Biden elected, and now they think it's going to get Kamala elected. And why wouldn't it? It will work if the Trump team doesn't get on the ball. Now, why do I tell you the Trump team stumbled? Because they stumbled because they should have anticipated that the media was going to fawn over Kamala. They should have anticipated that Kamala, they were going to lie about Kamala's record. They were going to hide Kamala. And they should have anticipated this because they should have known that there would be excitement on dumping Joe. See, this is where the Trump team made a mistake. They assumed that everybody that was sour on Joe was going to go to Trump. And I tried to say it, and I know other people tried to tell the Trump campaign, there are 30-40% of this country that are whack job progressive Democrats. They're never going to vote for Trump. They're not going to vote for Nikki Haley. They're not going to vote for Ron DeSantis. They're not going to vote for the pizza guy from New Jersey. The guy is kind of heavy. Oh, it's terrible. Bad host. The old New Jersey governor. What is that dude's name? Chris Christie. They wouldn't vote for Chris Christie. They wouldn't even vote for John McCain. There's unfortunately about 40% of progressive whack job Democrats, and they're not going to go to Donald Trump. They're not going to go to any Republican, anybody with an R by their name. And the Trump campaign miscalculated because I think they thought that the dislike was so deep for Joe Biden that these people were just going to come and vote for Trump. And that's not the case. And so when they dumped Joe Biden, it didn't matter who they put in, who they anointed, but they were always going to anoint Kamala because she was working it behind the scenes and she's the only one they could give the money to. So it was always going to be Kamala, and the Trump team just assumed that so many people disliked Kamala that they wouldn't be excited about her. And listen, folks, they're not excited about Kamala. They're excited about Joe Biden being dumped. And shame on you Democrats. You Democrats ought to be pissed because the party that's telling you that they're saving democracy is the party that's killing democracy right in front of your eyes. Not one Democrat primary voter matters to the Democrats, because if they did, they would have had another vote. They would have had a small primary, and they would have made Kamala earn the right to be the nominee, because it would have been up to the people to decide. The Democrat voters, they don't matter to the Democrats. Democracy doesn't matter to the Democrats, because they don't give a damn about any of your votes, because they anointed Kamala, because she's the only one that they could get the money to. She's the only one they could give. Biden has a war chest. It's a big war chest. And if they had a small primary, and if they had dared allowed the Democrat primary voter to have another vote so they could pick somebody like Gretchen from Michigan or Brashear from Kentucky, which would have been their best candidate,
Shapiro.
The guy from Arizona, and they could have picked anybody like that. The crazy progressive nut job in California, he would have made a run for it. But see, folks, they know that Kamala would have lost if you had to put the vote to the people. And they wouldn't have been able to give Biden's war chest to any other candidate except Kamala. That is why they said to hell with democracy. Screw you, you Democrat voter. I mean, the Democrat Party just gave the entire Democrat voter out there, they just gave you the middle finger, and they anointed Kamala. They anointed Kamala. And they did that because they wanted her to have the money, and they wanted to have the say, and they want to control what goes on. They didn't want to put the power into the people's hands. That's coming from the party that's trying to convince you that they're saving democracy? No. The Democrats are the antithesis to democracy. The Democrats are all about authoritarian power. That's what they're all about. And so what did so Donald Trump's team, yeah, they miscalculated. But folks, listen, I'm telling you, it is not time to panic. You do not need to panic, because most people aren't going to pay attention until after Labor Day. Now, after, and this is why I said, Trump, take a break next week. Relax. Huddle with your team. Talk about getting back on message. Talk about getting a focused zero-in message on Kamala's record. Talk about that. Because, excuse me, folks, my voice is trying to go. But because that's all you need to do. Take a break next week. Take a break. Let J.D. Vance, listen, J.D. Vance was not my first choice to be a vice president pick, but J.D. Vance has been doing a killer job. J.D. Vance had got in front of so many media people over the weekend, and he did something that Kamala can't do, and he did something that Waltz can't do. Listen, Waltz does not want to get in front of the media and have to answer about his military record that he's been lying about. Okay? Waltz doesn't want to have to do that. Waltz doesn't want to have to answer to putting tampons in the boys' bathrooms. Waltz doesn't want to have to answer to allowing the police to seize your child if you don't allow your child to mutilate themselves. Waltz doesn't want to have to answer to that. So Waltz is being hidden. He's in the basement strategy. I mean, folks, it's as if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are in the witness protection program. They're in the witness campaign protection program. That's the basement strategy that they've employed here. But I am telling you, folks, if Donald Trump, if you just take a break next week and rest. Rest up. Hone in. Focus. Get on message again. Donald Trump, you were the best when you were coming out of that court case and the courthouse, and you had to be a focused campaigner because you were gagged by the judge, and you had these court cases weighing on you, and so you had to campaign you had to be a good campaigner. And by golly, you were. You became the best campaigner I've ever seen you be when you were coming out of that courthouse and you were having to do quick campaigns. You did campaign stops all over New York. Those were great. You need to do those again. You know, when you went to the Bronx, when you went to Harlem, that's what you need to do, Donald J. Trump. The Trump campaign, hear me and hear me well. All you need to do is you need to take it to the city of Atlanta. You need to take it to Detroit. You need to take it to Baltimore. You need to take it to Pittsburgh.
With your dog and baby.
Yeah, exactly. With your dog and baby. You need to go to all these places. Go to the heart of the Democrats. Remind them about Kamala. Who cares what color Kamala is? Who cares? Who cares what any of that stuff? Talk about what Kamala does. Talk about what Kamala did. Talk about what Kamala says. Talk about what she has said. Kamala Harris said she wanted to defund the police. Kamala Harris wants open borders. Kamala Harris wants to tax the bejesus out of people. Kamala Harris wants higher gas prices. Kamala Harris wants to outlaw the gas vehicle. Kamala Harris wants to kill coal. Kamala Harris wants to ban fracking. Tell that to the people of Pennsylvania. All you've got to do, Trump campaign, is stick to her record, remind people why they don't like her, remind the black voter how many black men she put in jail. That's all you got to do. Remind the American people, remind the American voter of why they don't like Kamala Harris. It's that simple. So I think next week during the Democrat convention, Donald Trump, take a break. Take a break. Let J.D. Vance go out. J.D. Vance, like I said, he did outstanding over the weekend. He did so many interviews, and he had these liberals, journalists, so-called journalists, all in his face. And he fired back on them. He wouldn't let them take the narrative. J.D. Vance was setting the narrative, and he did a great job at it. Let J.D. go out next week and do all the campaigning. Donald Trump, you take a break. You take a break and get back on message. You get back on refocused. You focus like you did when you were coming out of those courthouses. You focus like that. You be the man that was humbled by being shot in the ear. And let me tell you something. I know you don't want to talk about that, what happened and being shot, but you need to talk about being shot. The media has tried to erase the fact that you got shot. Google has tried to erase any searches of you being shot. Donald Trump, you get back out there and you tell people what it was like to get shot. You took a bullet for the United States. You took a bullet for the Trump voter. You took a bullet for the conservative voter. You took a bullet for a lot of voters out there that are going to go to the polls in November. You remind them. There's nothing wrong with reminding people you took a bullet for them. You took a bullet for this country, Donald Trump. You remind people that you did it. And then you remind people that they're trying to whitewash it. And then you stick to the message. You define Kamala. Let J.D. Vance battle Walz. Let J.D. Vance make Walz answer for lying about his military record. Donald Trump, you don't need to go there. You just stay on message and tell people why, remind them why they didn't like Kamala in the first place. That's all you need to do. And you, Trump campaign, if you take a break next week, you let J.D. Vance go out and do the work. Next week, you take a break and you get back on message. And then after the convention next week, you start firing on all cylinders again. And Donald Trump, you start going, I am telling you, Donald Trump, go to Philadelphia. Go back to Butler. Go to Pittsburgh. Go to Atlanta. Go to Baltimore. Go to Detroit. Go to New Orleans. Go to all of these places where the Democrats have decimated their cities. And you talk to the voter again. You go back to the Bronx. Go back to Harlem. Go to New Jersey. Go to Elizabeth, New Jersey, where you can't even ride a motorcycle because the potholes are bigger than the motorcycle tires. Go to these places. You fire these people up. You remind them how many black men Kamala put in jail. You remind them that it's Kamala's policy that led to the open border. It's Kamala policies that leads to inflation. It's Kamala policies that wants to tax you to death. It's Kamala that wants to end fracking. It's Kamala that wants to drive your energy prices through the roof. It's Kamala that wants to ban gas vehicles. It's Kamala that wants to do all those things. It's the Democrat Party that wants to do all those things. All you need to do is get out there and remind people why they didn't like Kamala in the first place. It's that simple. It is that simple, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, did Trump make a few stumbles here as they ascended Kamala to the throne? Yeah, he did. But folks, there's no reason to panic. People won't start paying attention until after Labor Day. So once we get to Labor Day, once we get past next week's convention, then Donald Trump needs to fire on all cylinders. I don't want to hear one word about 2020. I don't want to hear one word about the past. You talk about the future. You talk about how bad Kamala is. You talk about what Kamala's going to do. You talk about how one out of three Americans right now are buying less groceries because they can't afford to pay their utility bill. You talk about that. You talk about the things that matter in the homes of the people out there, and you will get those voters back. And Donald Trump, if you can't beat Kamala, I don't think you can beat anybody. And that's just me being honest.
Don't talk about
Kamala, yeah, stay away from the race issue. Kamala Harris is easy to beat. You just got to remind people why they already don't like her. So, all right, folks, listen, we're getting to the end of the show. I didn't even get to the Elon Musk interview. Donald Trump did 2 hours with Elon Musk. And let me tell you, your Democrat Party that tells you they want to save democracy, they tried to shut down Elon Musk yesterday. A man who was an African-American, mind you, who was using his free speech, the Democrat Party tried to shut him down. They wanted to shut down an African-American's voice. How does that make you feel, Democrat voter? How does that make you feel? The Democrats trying to shut down the voice of an African-American. You ought to be pretty pissed at that. All right, folks, listen, we'll have more next week. Stay tuned. Locked and Loaded's up next with Roger B. I'm out.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.